The situation in Liberia was desperate. The nation was divided, and the only rule of law were young men with guns. An entire nation lived in fear and uncertainty, never knowing from one day to the next what would happen. There was no food, no jobs, no safety, and worst of all, no hope. During the war, half the country was displaced from their homes. Over 200,000 people died. It was terrible conditions for everyone, but especially for the children. Children are already dependent upon others for food and shelter and protection. But in a wartime, the children who are most vulnerable are the ones left to fend for themselves. Their support structures are gone, their families torn apart. How do you beg when everyone around you has nothing? Who hears your cry for help when weeping stalks every compound? How does a 9-year-old boy bury his parents? Such was the situation for little Andrew Kennedy. His father was dead. His family was scattered. He was desperate, poor, alone, afraid. No one would envy the life that Andrew Kennedy lived in Monrovia. He had no idea where his next meal would come from, much less his future or his destiny. There was nothing left for him to do but flee, and so flee he did. By God's grace, he made it to Ghana, where we took him in at the Agape Children's Home. But then, one day, Andrew's life changed forever. An American family came and adopted Andrew and took him to the U.S. They took him into their home. They gave him their name. They gave him an American passport. They put clothes on his back and food in his belly. They sent him to school. He rode in their car. He celebrated their holidays and their birthdays. They took a picture, and he was at the center. And God's grace, sorry, we lost the picture, but by God's grace, Andrew's life was completely turned around. When they adopted him. When they adopted him, something changed. Not just his outward circumstances, but when they adopted him, it wasn't just that he went from hunger to health, from weariness to fruitfulness. It was more than that. It was more than an outward change. Everything about his life was transformed. I remember visiting Andrew after he'd been adopted and was in the U.S. for about a year, and I was amazed. He was living in a house of 3 levels with 5 bedrooms and 2 parlors and bathrooms everywhere. And there was Andrew in the midst of it, transformed. I could hardly recognize him. The face was the same, but everything about him was different. He was now speaking with an American accent. You know what I mean? If I talk like an American today, y'all can't hear me at all, I tell you what. Yeah, I used to be one of them, and I know how to talk just like an American. It's really amazing. He was playing video games in front of a large flat-screen TV. He was going to school with sons of politicians and government leaders. He was playing football on a grassy field instead of roaming the streets of Monrovia. Everything was different. He was no longer fearful without hope. He was confident and peaceful. For when Andrew Kennedy became Andrew Day, his whole lifestyle changed. When he was adopted, legally certified as a member of the Day family, that agreement changed his life. A new family meant a new lifestyle. I think that's why the Bible uses the word adoption to talk about how we have become members of God's own family. It's one of the ways God describes how we're saved. We were once sinners, bound by guilt, bound by shame, caught, captured in darkness, surrendered to the ways of Satan. We had no hope, no future. The devil had a hold of us. But then one day, quite unexpectedly, God came down from heaven in the person of Jesus Christ. He chose us. He adopted us. He came and took us into his family, and when he did, everything changed. Not only did we receive salvation, not only do we have the hope of eternal life, not only do we have new life, but even more than that, when Jesus saved us, he brought us a whole new lifestyle, a new way of living, unlike anything we had known ever before. Sadly, many people who come to Christ never experience the fullness of the new life that Jesus Christ offers us. They remain caught up in their old nature, bound by the old habits, falling short of a new lifestyle that Jesus died to bring us. But there's good news for all of us today. You don't need to miss out on the blessings and the benefits of the covenant. You can enjoy the blessing of a new lifestyle today when you discover the secrets of a covenant lifestyle. That's what we're going to discover this morning from God's Word. But before we do that, let's bow our heads and pray together. Almighty and everlasting Father, we thank you for the amazing redemption you brought to us. You came from heaven to earth that we might be saved. But Lord, many of us have not yet experienced the fullness of what you desire to do in us. And so I ask you this morning, Lord, that you lift the veil of deception from our eyes. God, that you remove every barrier from us seeing and knowing exactly what it is that you brought to us in taking us as your children. Help us to see the benefits of living in a covenant lifestyle, that everything from our thoughts, our emotions, and our nature itself is transformed by the power of your word. I submit this people to you right now. I resist every work of the devil against them in the name of Jesus. Every spirit that would come to deceive or disturb or distract us, I bind you in the name of Jesus, and I loose the Spirit of the living God to move in us, that today as you are glorified, we will be transformed. We give you the praise and glory now in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Well, take a moment and pray with me. Put your hand on your chest and say, Lord Jesus, speak to my heart. Change my life. Manifest your glory in me in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning once again. I am so glad to see you here at Agape House. You know, I'll be frank, there are some of you people here today that other people who know you would be shocked to see you in church. Yeah. There were some of your old friends that could never imagine you would come to church. Your mother may never have believed she could see you clapping your hands or raising your hand. Your former wife or your old girlfriend wouldn't believe that you could change. Even you yourself, you may never have expected that your life would be transformed. But look what the Lord has done for us. If you believe it, say amen. Hallelujah. See, one day he came down, he came and touched us. You might never have thought you could serve the Lord. You might never have thought you could be free from sin. You might never have imagined that your life could be different, because when you were stuck in sin, there seemed no way out, no hope and no future. But I've got good news for you. When Jesus came, he came to rescue us and redeem us and take us from the miry clay and set our feet on the solid rock. Somebody shout hallelujah. That's amazing grace. We all need it. And thank God that everyone here at Agape House is a candidate for that grace. So just tell your neighbor, I'm glad to see you here today. Inside your bulletin, you'll find your sermon notes. They look like this. I invite you to take them out right now and follow along with me today as we discover how God's truth produces a covenant lifestyle. Amen. Now, maybe you're here today and you've never been with us before. These notes are a way that we can help you to follow along. And it's important that we get this truth, for the fact is there are many people who believe in God, but they are failing to get the benefits of their faith. There are millions of people that come to church every Sunday, but they don't enjoy the blessings of being in God's family. Oh, they can tell you the right doctrine. They can sing the right songs and say the right prayers, but something is missing from their lives. For you see, they've never understood the powerful transformation available to those who enter into the new covenant. It would be like as if that young orphan boy, Andrew Day, I told you about at the beginning, it would be like when his family took him to America and they brought him to the house. If they said, come on in, Andrew, this is our home, he would have said, oh no, I think I will remain outside. And when they said, but please, we have a bedroom for you and a bed for you, if he said, no, I prefer to sleep on the dust with the mosquitoes. And if they said, but Andrew, we've got food inside, we've got hamburgers and hot dogs and French fries. If he said, no, I prefer to eat the leaves and the grass. No one would be able to believe that an adopted son would forego all those blessings to remain outside. So why do you remain outside the benefits of God's covenant? And I say to you today, God forbid that any one of us should miss out on the blessings of the covenant. God forbid that anyone at Agape House should fail to enter in to the adoptive family of God and receive the benefits of adoption. But how do we get them? How can we make sure we don't miss out? Well, our scripture text for today gives us three clues. It's there at the top of your notes. It's on the screen behind me. It's also available on YouVersion.com. If you have a mobile phone with the internet or an iPad, you can go to YouVersion.com. Look up Accra, Ghana Live Events, and you'll find our sermon notes there. But remember, when it's on the page or on the screen or on your phone, it won't impact your life unless it's in your heart and on your mouth. So I'm going to ask you to read our scripture text together, found in Hebrews 10, 16 to 17. Are you ready? Here we go. "This is the new covenant I will make with my people on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." Then he says, "I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds." May the Lord bless the reading of his word to your heart today in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Listen to what God is telling us in this passage today. The new covenant, the covenant promise, comes to us in a mighty way to bring change within us. The covenant promises of God involve not just blessing us, but transforming us. And the transformation God brings goes to the very deepest part of our lives, our hearts, our minds, our very nature itself. And friend, if you could just catch a revelation of God's truth here this morning, if you could just see the amazing power in this passage, God offers you a covenant that will completely transform your life. So let's look carefully at the three things that God is transforming today. First of all, God's truth transforms our emotions. You can take your pen and fill in the blank with the word emotions. Back to Hebrews 10, 16, God says, "I will put my laws in their hearts." Now, the word laws there is the Greek word nomos. It's not just the Ten Commandments. It's not just the dictates, but it's every principle, every precept, every truth of God that will transform our lives. God begins by saying, "I'm going to put them in your hearts to overwrite your emotions." Now, let's make it clear. God is not saying he's going to remove our emotions. Feelings come from God. Emotions come from the Holy God. And so we're glad for emotions. When I'm happy and when I feel good, life is good. But here's the problem we face today. Too many of us have surrendered our direction in life to our feelings. We allow our feelings and our emotions to dictate how we behave. Many people today, when they feel good, they say, "Yeah, God is moving." But when they feel bad inside, they think that God has abandoned them. But feelings come and feelings go. Feelings are deceiving. I'll base my faith on the Word of God, for nothing else is worth believing. You may not always feel God's presence, but he said, "I will never leave you or forsake you." It's just like the Hamartan we're in right now. You get up and you can't see the sun shining bright in the sky. But the same sun that shone in October is the same sun shining now. It's the same power, the same heat, the same majesty, the same light. It's there. It's just been covered by the dust from the Sahara. And here's the danger we all face when we follow our emotions. It certainly leads to sin. That's what the Bible tells us in James 1, 14 to 15. Temptation comes from our own desires. That's our emotions, our feelings, our affections. Temptation comes from our desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. That's exactly what happened to our mother, Eve. The Bible says Adam and Eve were placed in the Garden of Eden, and God said, "Do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." You can have any of the fruit, but not that one. But the Bible says the devil came and tempted her, and when she went to the tree, she saw that it was good, and she could begin to taste it in her mouth, and her emotions became aroused and said, "Oh, it's beautiful. I'm sure it's tasty and sweet, and oh, it will make me feel good." And she allowed herself to surrender to her feelings. And then her mind got engaged in following her feelings, and she began to justify it and said, "It will make me wise. I will benefit from it." So she reached out and took the forbidden fruit, and death was the result. And that same cycle of sin is for all of us. It's happened to all of us. Our emotions, our desires, our lusts, and our affections have led us to the place where we rationalize our actions in our mind and reach out to grab what God said, don't touch. And in the end, we always face death. And see, that's the problem. Too many of us have surrendered ourselves for immediate gratification without thinking of the consequences. We focus on what will make me feel good today, and we ignore the result of those actions. Because most of the time, the things that make you happy now will bring heartbreak later. That relationship you have with a married man may make you happy now, but it will bring heartbreak later. You may enjoy your affair today, but there is grief and sorrow coming. He promised to leave his wife and marry you. And for a while, everything seems good. He pays attention to you. He pays your bill. He buys things for you. But then one day you wake up and you've spent 5 years with that married man, and he's still with his wife, still giving you empty promises. And there you are, 30 years of age, unmarried, broken, and used like a toy. Instead of happy now, you've got heartbreak. For a student, happy now and heartbreak later is enjoying the time in school with your friends rather than staying home to read. You go to parties, you get drunk, you smoke all kinds of things and carry women everywhere, and you don't do well in your studies. You waste your time and perform poorly. And though it makes you happy at the moment when you graduate, your scores are nothing to write home about, and you go for interview after interview after interview, but no one offers you a position because you followed the immediate gratification without regard to the consequences. You wanted to buy that new mobile phone, but you didn't have the cash. But a friend gave you some money to hold for him. So you borrow from your friend's money and you tell yourself, oh, before he comes for it, I will surely be in a position to pay him back. But some unforeseen events come and tie up your money. And when your friend comes for his money, you don't have it. And happiness now has led to heartbreak later. And listen to me, friends. Every decision you make to give in to immediate gratification will always lead to heartbreak in the future. That's why a covenant lifestyle must have God's word transforming our emotions. For the fact is, feelings follow right choices. When you make the right choice to follow God's word, it will encourage you to feel like making more right choices. But when you make the wrong choice against God's word, it produces stronger and stronger emotions that will cause you to be more and more tempted. And when you give in to those emotions, the cycle of bondage gets deeper and deeper. That's why Colossians 3, 5, and 10 says, "Have nothing to do with evil desires. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him." I found the power of yielding to my emotions some years ago. Someone did something terribly wrong to me. They hurt me and offended me. Someone I loved and trusted betrayed me. And I'll be frank, my first reaction in my feelings was anger. And that anger led to bitterness. Every time I prayed, every time I thought about what they'd done, my anger became more and more enraged until a burning fire was inside of me. And I was so angry, I was praying precatory prayers. That's like, God, judge him today. But I was a pastor preaching about God's love. After all, the name of our ministry is Agape. How could I preach about God's love when in my heart there was bitterness and anger? And I said, Lord, what do I do with these emotions? And God said, if you will make the right choices, pray a blessing upon him. If you will choose to forgive him, as you continue to walk in that choice, your emotions will follow. And I can stand to testify today that as I've spent years praying over his life and blessing him with the truth, as I've spent years and following the way of God, suddenly my emotions began to subside and they fell in line with my right choices. And if that young man walked in the back door today, I would be the first to run and embrace him. A covenant lifestyle begins by getting your heart and your emotions in the right place. Colossians 3:1 says, "Since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God." Let your affections, let your feelings, let your desires be caught up with Christ as he writes his law on your heart. We will develop a covenant lifestyle when we choose according to God's truth, not according to our feelings. But how do we make that choice? Well, it brings us to our second truth today. So turn your page over in your notes to point number 2, and we see that God's truth transforms our reasoning. First of all, God comes to touch our hearts and change our emotions and our affections. But secondly, he comes to change our minds. For Hebrews 10:16 says, "I will write them," that is my law, "on your minds." So the second area is God comes to transform our reasoning, because the truth is, as you think, so you will become. Your mind is the center of your decision-making power. What you think affects your future and your destiny. Listen to Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. "Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace." In other words, whoever controls your mind, your reasoning, will control you. Your mind is the center, the control room of your life. That's why God has to write his law on your mind. Too many of us today want to cede certain areas of our lives to God, but we fail to give him our control room. We ask God to take over our finance, but we don't allow him to control the control room of our life. We ask him to take over our lust or our sexual area of life, but we don't allow God control over our thoughts. And so we continually battle with individual daily temptations. Giving God certain areas of your life without giving him your control room is like asking someone to drive a car, but making them sit in the back seat. They can't touch the steering. Their foot can't reach the pedal. They can't control the car when they're sitting behind. But when you allow God to take the driver's control of your mind, he is able to steer your heart and your life. That's why he has to write his law on your minds. See, friend, you may be intelligent. You may be educated. We have men and women here who have PhDs and doctorate degrees. But no matter what you've learned, you never have the same amount of knowledge as God. You can't reason with your own reasoning. You can't trust in your own mind, because God sees everything that you don't see. He knows more than you know. And even when you know some of the facts, you don't have them all, and you're going to make wrong choices. Our reasoning fails because we lack all knowledge. You can't learn enough in this life through experience to take you through. So listen to me right now. God does not have to raise you to a position of status to see you as a catalyst for change. If you wait for circumstances to line up with your mission, you'll never accomplish anything for God. If you wait for the experience and the knowledge, you'll never get anything done. But true leaders lead from where they are right now. Your circumstances don't have to change before you can shine for Jesus. You don't need to make a move to a new arena. You need to have a move inside your heart. You don't need to have an internal, you don't need to have an external change. You need to have an internal change. For a true leader leads wherever he is. Being elevated won't make you great, but acting great now will cause God to elevate you. And that's why we need God's word and truth to transform our lives, because only God can help us to make the right decisions in life. Reminds me of the man who was married 3 times and divorced 3 times. Finally, he met a 4th woman and said, "Well, let me try one more time." And after marrying the 4th woman, he said, "Now I'm finally learning my lesson. I'm finally figuring this out." But there was a trail of pain and sorrow over his life. You can never experience enough, never read enough, never learn enough to compare with the knowledge. That's why you need God's word written on your mind. By the way, men, the only thing I think you'll never understand is women, honestly speaking. You can learn everything else, but you'll never understand women. Reminds me of the Christian brother who was walking along Labadi Beach deep in prayer. And he said, "Oh Lord, I just pray you grant me one wish." And suddenly the heavens opened and a booming voice came out. And God said, "Because you've been faithful and you've served me at Agape House, I will grant you one wish. Tell me what it is." And the man said, "Oh, I have friends in U.S. and I would like to be able to visit them every weekend. So God, please build a bridge from Ghana across the ocean to the U.S. And God said, "What? That's a very difficult and complicated matter. Don't you think that's a bit materialistic? I mean, we have to put concrete and iron rods into the ocean, and then there's the structure itself, and it's a long distance. Why don't you think of something else that will honor me?" So the man thought, he said, "Okay, God, please let me understand women. Let me know what they're thinking when they cry, when they refuse to talk to me. Let me understand what makes them happy. Let me understand women." There was a long pause, and then God said, "How wide should I make the bridge?" But friends, when you get God's thoughts in your heart, you will have the more contented life. The more you think like God, the more content you will be. The more you think God's thoughts, the greater peace you will have. For God never worries about anything. He's always at peace. The more you think like God thinks, the more joy you will have, because in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. The more you think like God, the more life you will have within you. That's why the Bible says in 2 Peter 1:3-4, "By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life." You can have a covenant lifestyle. You've already received what you need. We've received all of this by coming to know Him, by our hearts and minds transformed, the one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. And because of His glory and excellence, He's given us great and precious promises. Listen, friend, these are the promises that enable you to share His divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In other words, the truth of God can transform our thinking so that we know God and our nature itself becomes changed. And that's our third truth today. God transforms our nature. Just take your pen and fill in the blank with the word nature. Back to Hebrews 10:16, he says this, "I will never remember their sins and their lawless deeds." And we can see the progression of God's work in us. First, He deals with our affections and our emotions and puts His law to overwrite them. Then He deals with our thinking and our reasoning and transforms our minds by His truth. But He doesn't just stop at our emotions. He doesn't just stop at our thoughts. He goes to the very core of our identity. He goes to the very core of our life and says, "I'm going to remove the old nature. I'm going to remove the sinful nature. I'm going to transform you and take away the old and put in the new." For you see, God's plan for your life is not to reform you. God's plan for your life is not to rehabilitate you. God's plan for your life is not to whitewash you so that you smell good and look good and appear good. God's plan for your life is to kill you. For throughout the New Testament, God says, "Put to death the old man. I am crucified with Christ." The old man must die. We must die with Him. The Bible says, "How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" For you see, God's work of transformation is so deep. He changes our emotions. He changes our thinking. But He also changes our very nature itself. For when the old man has died, then the new man can arise. When we die to our old nature, then we can live by the new covenant. Listen to these powerful words in Colossians 2:10-13. "So you also are complete through your union with Christ." Somebody say union with Christ. "Who is the head over every ruler and authority." When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your own sinful nature. See, God takes the knife of the Holy Spirit, and just like a man is circumcised on his manhood and the foreskin is cut off and thrown away, so God says, "I'm taking the knife of the Spirit and I'm doing surgery on you, and I'm cutting away the old nature and I'm removing it." Listen, For you were buried with Christ. Something that has died must be buried. You were buried with Christ when you were baptized. And with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. But then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all your sins. And I say to you this morning, something had to die in order for you to be united with Christ. The old nature had to be cut off. It had to be put in a coffin and buried in the ground. There's no way you could be one, united with Christ, as long as you still hang on to the old nature. But when you die to self, when you're united with Christ in his crucifixion, when you've been buried in the baptism of waters, you can live for God. You can put off the sinful nature and put on the new nature. For you see, friend, when the old man dies, you are free. When you get free, what used to hold you can't hold you any longer. When you're free, what used to bind you can't bind you anymore. You might remember a time in your life when you didn't think you could escape. You were under the bondage of sin. You couldn't control yourself. You'd lost your own destiny. But that old man is dead through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, through the cross of Jesus Christ. He is dead. And I say to you, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Somebody shout hallelujah. I heard a story about an old woman. She'd been married to her husband for 40 years. The man was a fool. The man was abusive. He used to insult her. Don't talk to your husband right now, sister. This is not the time. Amen. Don't tell him. Don't nudge him, all right? He used to abuse her. He used to beat her. She ran to the family for help. They couldn't help. She went to the church for help. There was no help. For 40 years, she lived with this monster, insulting her, berating her, beating her, abusing her. No way out. She was bound. But then one day, the old man died. And suddenly she was free. No more insults. No more abuse. No more beatings, no more torment, no more criticism, no more complaint, no more curses. The lady was free. They went to the funeral. The children and the grandchildren were crying, but that lady was dancing. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. And I say to you today, friends, something has to die so that you can be free. But it feels good to be free. See, that's why we baptize by immersion in water at Agape House. Baptism plants us in the likeness of his death. It's a symbol of our burial with Christ. When you've got a dead body, you don't just sprinkle some dirt on the forehead and leave him sitting in the parlor. You put him in a coffin. You nail it with a hammer and nail. You dig a deep hole and you put it in the ground. You cover it with dirt. And that's what the Bible says baptism in immersion in water is for us. It's a symbol that my old life is gone and I buried it in water by baptism. If who you were is dead, then you need to bury it and get rid of the body. So ask your neighbor, have you been baptized? For anything dead ought to be buried. If you're dead to it and you're not who you used to be, then we want to baptize you as a sign to every demon in hell who used to live at your address that you're no longer there. That man is gone. That woman is gone. You're dead and buried with Jesus in baptism. Somebody shout hallelujah. But if we're buried with him in baptism, then surely we will rise with him in newness in life. And if we rise with him in new life, we will be crowned and seated in heavenly places with him. That's why I say to you today, don't try to save who you used to be. Don't try to resuscitate or reform or revive that old man. Put it to death today. Some of you are calling the ambulance. You're rushing to 37. You're trying to keep your old reputation, your old ways alive. You take every treatment possible to keep that old sinful man going. But I say to you today, let him die in the name of Jesus. For on the other side of the funeral, there is joy. I know because I found it. I'm not the man I used to be. Once I was bound by sin, my life was captured by the devil. Once I couldn't do what I wanted to do, I was taken captive by Satan to do his will. But now I declare to you, my old man is gone and the new one has come. I was buried with Christ in the waters of baptism, and now that old life is gone. It's finished, and I've been raised up with Christ, and I'm seated in heavenly places with him because I walk in covenant life. My mind's made up and I won't turn back. I don't care how I feel. I don't care what the old man tries to tell me from the grave. I don't care what Satan says. I don't care how anyone discourages me. I know what my Savior has done and I am free. He remembers my sin no more. He's removed my iniquities and transgressions far from me. He's given me a new life. He's given me a new nature. He's given me a new name. He's given me a new identity. He's given me a new family. He's given me a new hope because I'm adopted by my Father in heaven. He is my covenant God and I am his covenant son and I won't go back. I'm pressing on for the glory. I'm a new creation in Christ and all things have passed away. I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. I am free. And I say to you today, let your old life go. Let your old nature go. Let the old ways go. Break free from being bound by your feelings. Break free from being bound by your reasoning. Break free from the old habits of sinful nature and be free. For the only thing stopping you from marrying your destiny is that you're still living with your history. The Bible says when a woman is married to a man, she's bound. She can't leave him. But when the husband dies, the woman is free. She's free to marry someone else. And the only thing stopping you from marrying your destiny in Christ is that you're still living with your old man, your history. You can't change your history. You have to move it to the grave. So kill who you used to be so you can go on to become who you're supposed to be. That's the cycle of a covenant lifestyle. Christ puts a new nature in us by faith. And because of that new nature, our mind is transformed through God's truth. And when our mind is transformed through God's truth, our feelings follow right choices. And we live a life of peace, of joy, liberty. We live the abundant life. Do you think it's not possible for you? Listen to Romans 8, 9, and 12. You are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. You have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. In Christ, you are free. And you will live a covenant lifestyle when you choose according to God's truth, not according to your feelings, not according to your reasoning, not according to your sin nature, but according to the covenant promise of God. Shall we pray? Almighty and everlasting Father, we thank you. How can we thank you, God, for all that you've done for us? Oh, Lord, we were lost in sin. No future, no hope, no way out. We were bound by Satan, captured by our own foolishness, led astray by our evil desires. Like our mother Eve, we looked at what we thought was good. We rationalized it in our mind, but we fell into a trap. But then you came when we had no hope, and you rescued us. You offered us your Son. God forbid that we should remain outside your house. God forbid that we should fail to capture the covenant blessings. God forbid that we should fail to be transformed from deep within. Do a work in us today. Circumcise our hearts. Take away the old nature by the blood of Jesus Christ. Transform our minds, our hearts, our nature itself. And come into our hearts and let us be your covenant children. We declare today, Lord, We have no obligation to the old man. We surrender ourselves to you. Fill us. Transform us. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you please rise with me right now? God's doing a work in our hearts. Just be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Just lift up your hand and say after me, Dear Lord, you are my covenant God. I am your covenant child. Transform me. Take away the old nature. Cut it off. I declare today, I have no obligation to do what the old man says. I have no obligation to follow sin. I have no obligation to follow Satan. I yield my heart, my mind, my very life to you. Take me, fill me, transform me. I declare I am for Jesus. I want to live a holy life. I want to walk in truth day and night. I want to be all you want me to be. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for these precious, precious brothers and sisters in Christ. I bind every spirit of the enemy that would come to steal the seed of the word out of their hearts. And I declare over them today, their past is past. It's under the blood of Jesus. Fill our minds, our hearts, our nature with your truth, that we might walk with you in covenant lifestyle. In Jesus' name. Would you join me in singing, I Want to Live a Holy Life?